Blog Talk Radio.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman vs. MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Connecticut. Hello, how you doing today? I hope I find you feeling healthy on this Thursday, September 9th, 2021. This is Dave here with Nate on a special early edition of the Baseball Buffet. Just letting you guys know, normally we're on at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, but today we're going to be pre-recorded for a very special reason. Today is the NFL kickoff Thursday, and we're going to let everybody enjoy the football games tonight. Myself and Nate, I'm sure, will be tuning in, but we definitely wanted to take some time this week to acknowledge what's going on in baseball. There's a lot of important things. We just had Derek Jeter get inducted into the Hall of Fame. We're going to get some thoughts on that. We hit the stretch run and maybe even make a little football-baseball comparisons, but let's check in with Nate. Nate, how you doing? Thanks for joining us on this pre-recorded early edition of the Baseball Buffet.
Good afternoon, Dave. I'm excited that we are going to be able to get this in, keep all the fans happy. Everybody's always got to have their daily dose of baseball, even though we do need to pay homage to the kickoff of the NFL football season. I realize that that's a little redundant to call the National Football League football season, but hey, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little baseball.
Yeah, it's one of those interesting times of the year, I always think, when you've got that crossover, you know, you're hitting the end of the baseball season, you're hitting the start of the football season. You know, I've mentioned it when we first started the show. I mean, baseball was my first love as a sports fan. I certainly helped by being, and this is going to be a topic I want to touch on more than a few times today, but baseball really became a big part of my life in the mid 90s. I remember really kind of starting to understand the sport in 94, 95, 96. And, I was born in 86. So that would have put me roughly 10 years old when I was fully in. And so I was 10 years old when the 96 Yankees were doing their thing. And then 12 when, you know, it was Jeter's team, Jeter, Mo, Posada, Williams, those guys. And, this is one of those things, and I always feel bad when I bring this up in a way, sympathetic, I suppose, because it's hard for me. I try not to be that, jerk Yankee fan that's like, oh, yeah, we beat a 27 world champ, woo! I consider myself super lucky, very fortunate that as a 12-year-old I got to see my team win a bunch of championships. I think I'm lucky that something, really nobody else on this planet, except for, some Boston fans can really say that they had that amount of success in certain core parts of their sports fandom. And, when you're 12 years old, that's a formative year for me as a sports fan. And I'm blessed. I'm lucky that I got to enjoy the Yankees being so successful when they did. A team that went out there, they did it what I felt like was the right way, moving runners in scoring positions. I remember every time there was a 3-1 pitch in any game that Joe Torre managed, they would always send the runners. It was just an automatic thing. You never even thought about it. Bunting was a thing. It's just, I'm so proud of having grown up with that as my baseball experience. So I really want to touch on that a little bit more about the career of Derek Jeter, who went into the Hall of Fame, had a 15-minute very short Hall of Fame speech. I wish one of those guys, I wish I could hear him talk forever. But that was special. And that happened earlier this week. I think that was actually yesterday. I got a chance to check it out. Check it out on YouTube. The whole thing is right there. Like I said, it's a 15-minute speech. Just go to the MLB YouTube account. If you're on social media, you might as well just check out all of our stuff. Sports City Chefs, www.sportscitychefs. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We got a lot of cool stuff coming down the pipe. But, Nate, I know, I would understand if you didn't get a chance to check out the Derek Jeter Hall of Fame speech. Let me just ask, did you get a chance to check it out or even, read some snippets of it? And if not, I completely understand, and I want to touch on why not if you didn't.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did not get a chance to see it, and I'm going to go ahead and just plow right into why I didn't get to see it or read it. Because once again, we've hit on this topic a couple of times throughout the course of this season. Somehow, every time that it looks like the league and Manfred might be heading in the right way doing something, they find a way to just get in their own way. Why on earth is the MLB Hall of Fame induction ceremony happening on a random Wednesday afternoon in September? It put that stuff on TV. The NFL Hall of Fame enshrinement is always a big deal. The MLB Hall of Fame enshrinement used to be that way back in 2007 it was, because I remember it was my high school graduation gift from my parents and myself to myself. I went to Cal Ripken and Tony Gwynn's induction, and that happened in the middle of the summer. It happened on a weekend, and that place was packed. Why in the world are they doing these speeches on a random Wednesday afternoon in September when nobody knows about it, nobody can watch it? I don't understand why you wouldn't make this more of a marquee event to feature everybody plays this. Everybody who plays the sport professionally wants to end up in this hall, and now you're basically putting the Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony as a, oh, yeah, I guess we did that. Come on, Rob. What are we doing here?
It falls right in line with one of the themes of not just the sport, but what we've talked about this past, year, Nate, and we still got a couple months of shows to do, but a common theme we've talked about is how how baseball just so bad with marketing their stars. We've talked about how people couldn't pick Mike Trout out of a lineup. And I think this is like you've got it with the beginning, the middle, and the end of these guys' career, right? So I don't think baseball does anything in marketing their rookies. I mean, we text each other a lot about baseball, which is, half the fun of the show is now you always send me news, I send you news, you tell me when there's a no-hitter going up, and then I'm like, it's not going to happen, and then it happens. I tell you when's going to happen, and then, it doesn't happen. But anyway, it's sad because you see these call-ups. We've been texting a lot about the Rays call-ups, how Wander Franco was such a big deal. And Wander Franco got called up to the Tampa Bay Rays, and he somehow made that team even better. And it's unfortunate because nobody knows anything about it. I mean, if you're really into baseball, I get it. Like, I get that that's a big thing. Like, you're going to pay attention to it. You're going to see Wander Franco's impact on the team, how they've kept winning. I think that was, that's a good thing, but, they're not marketing the new young stars in the sport. And that's the beginning of the career, right? But additionally, you've got guys who are young and playing right now, and at this point, I guess, relatively young, because I wouldn't say Mike Trout's a kid anymore. But, they've got that. I mean, Vlad Guerrero Jr. was a nice story during the All-Star break. I think we got a snippet of what baseball can do during the All-Star break and the Home Run Derby and marketing their stars, but they don't really put them where they need to be. Additionally, now we're seeing the end of the career, so the beginning, the middle, the end, and now the Hall of Fame ceremony was on a Wednesday night. Could you – listen, All right, Nate. When my wife and I got – it's a complete sidebar, but when my wife and I got engaged and I was like, all right, who do I want to marry? One of the things that I thought of as a criteria, and you can make fun of me for this all you want, but it's like, okay, life is tough. Life is hard. We've all got a lot going on. But at some point, it's going to be like a Tuesday night in August, and you're not going to know what to do with yourself. You're going to put something on Netflix. You're going to put something on Hulu, and life is about how you can kill time. And my running joke is that a Tuesday or a Wednesday in the middle of August is literally the most boring thing possible. And baseball, while I think they could have turned a random Wednesday in the middle of the summer or late summer into something, they decided to just do it and put no pomp and circumstance around it. That's another thing. They really could have made this an event. Meanwhile, the NFL, they take a Thursday in the middle of the summer, you know, late spring, early summer, whenever it is, and they've got the draft, and it's a global event. You've got people flying into Cleveland or wherever, or Philadelphia. You have people flying in from around the world to see people read names off a card. But baseball's inducting their Hall of Fame player on a Wednesday night in the middle of in early September, and nobody knows what's going on. It's a 15-minute speech. You have to find it on YouTube. I don't think they give a damn about the ratings. They should, but the only people even looked like they were there, because I watched the video of Jeter's speech and they would pan to the crowd. It was like his friends, family, and Yankee fans who could make it. It was depressing. I'm really upset about this, if you can't tell, that the NFL can take reading names off an index card and make it a whole thing. They made the combine a thing, Nate. The NFL made the combine a thing, but baseball cannot figure out how to make their Hall of Fame induction ceremony anything. I mean, do it on the last day of the regular season or something. Do it in the day between, you know, the wild card games and the start of the first round of the playoffs. There's a spot. There's a natural break in the action where you can fill it with something that's supposed to be, you know, full of splendor. That I think the fact that the NFL, you know, they have the Hall of Fame game to start their season, and then that part of that is the induction of the Hall of Famers. That whole weekend is about the history and the beauty of the sport. Baseball doesn't do that in any one spot at all on their calendar. Really,
no,
about
they
this.
Really don't. Have you? Dave, have you ever been to Cooperstown?
I have not. I know you've been a few times.
I have been. I grew up with my brothers playing tournaments up there. I've been to the Hall of Fame numerous times. As I let off, I went to Ripken's induction. And I will say, Ripken's induction, where they – I don't know if you could get a sense of this when you were watching Jeter's speech back, but they basically had the stage, and then there was just this rolling – field and hills, and for Gwynn and Ripken's induction, every inch of that was packed. Like, they can get people to this, and the fact that this was Jeter's induction, I mean, we're talking about the guy who was the face of the franchise of Major League Baseball, whether you love them or view them as the evil empire like 99% of the league does. He was the face of baseball, for better or worse, throughout most of his career. And he was the face of the franchise that was at the front of baseball throughout the 90s and the early 2000s. This could have been an induction ceremony with at least that many people. People, like, you're talking about a New York Yankee getting inducted in upstate New York.
You're right.
You're telling me you have that induction ceremony on, even do it on a Saturday around July 4th weekend, or do it over the All-Star game weekend, whatever. I don't care when you do it, but do it on the weekend. You're going to tell me people aren't going to drive from Manhattan and the Bronx and Queens and Staten Island. They're not going to drive up there, and they're not going to pack Cooperstown. And this goes – there's actually an element to this that really irks me beyond just the fact that baseball got in its own way of being able to publicize and celebrate their star. And, you know, we're not even – I feel like we're doing Larry Walker a disservice here, and we're doing Marvin Miller a disservice here, because we haven't even talked about those guys and Simmons coming in. And, I mean, we can talk about them a little bit later if we have time, and we have other topics to hit on.
Hold on. Real quick, Nate. To anybody who didn't, yes, Larry Walker was also inducted in the Hall of Fame yesterday. But I just have
first
to say, did you see his pin?
Did
you hear about the pin that he wore?
Didn't he wear a SpongeBob SquarePants pin?
He wore a gigantic SpongeBob SquarePants pin. And I just wanted to make sure that we pointed that out. Anyway, keep going.
Well, and also another guy that went in was Marvin Miller, who literally changed the way that the athletes get treated in Major League Baseball. Like, these are guys that need to be celebrated by the sport. And not only did we not get to do that because we held it at noon or 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock, I forget exactly when the ceremonies kicked off, but on a Wednesday in September, jeez. But this, the town of Cooperstown, like, there's not a whole lot going on there. Like, there's a bunch of baseball related stores. There's a minor league park up there, Doubleday Field, and then you have the Hall of Fame. Those, if you're ever up there, for whether the, if you're ever going to Cooperstown, whether it's when the Little League tournaments are blowing through, or especially for Hall of Fame induction weekend, that place goes from sleepy little upstate New York town to booming metropolis, like on the level of State College, Pennsylvania on a Penn State home game weekend. It just, there's so much revenue that pumps through there from people coming in because, yeah, you're going up to see your favorite player get inducted into the Hall of Fame. But while you're there, you're stopping into the memorabilia store and you're buying or at least shopping for all of this baseball history. And all of these old-time Hall of Fame guys, they go up there and they sit there and they sign autographs. Now, a lot of them you have to pay for unless you get the right guy, but it's still like there's so much economic impact for this small town. Like Cooper's, I can't believe Major League Baseball did this to Cooperstown and did this to their Hall of Fame inductees to just have it be. Now, maybe this whole thing is in part because of the lingering of the pandemic, and so they didn't want to attract a huge crowd, but I really hope that that's not the case. But, you know, if we're going to play, if we're going to give benefit of the doubt, maybe that played something into it. But you got it. You're crushing this small town, and you're crushing what should be a celebratory event. And you brought up the NFL and how the NFL has the Hall of Fame game to kick off their preseason. They literally – we saw how effective Major League Baseball was with that game in Iowa with the Field of Dreams game. There is a baseball field there. They can play a game there. They can do a featured game there. Make it the franchise of one of the guys that's going in. And this is – this was the last Yankee from the crux of the early 2000s, last 90s. Like, I don't know which Yankee is going to be the next one to go in. This could be the one for a while. You've got to feature that.
Nate. I have a mini trivia question for you. Do you know who the last team to win a game, the last major league team to win the Hall of Fame game was?
At Doubleday Field?
That's right. Now, spoiler
alert,
the second to last game played there was, or scheduled game was the Cubs against the Padres in 2008, which was canceled due to rain. So the last completed game was the Orioles defeating the Blue Jays on May 21st, 2007. And you completely made a point that I was excited to make was that that Hall of Fame game was canceled because of, and the wording that I found here, and again, this is Wikipedia, so who the hell knows, but on January 29th, 2008, Major League Baseball announced that the final Hall of Fame game would be played against the Cubs and the Padres, which again was later canceled, but it was the last one because of the inherent challenges of scheduling teams in the modern day as the reason for ending the annual contest. And I was going to bring that up and make the point that, well, if you can do the, you know, like the game in Iowa now, that shouldn't be a reason for not doing it. So I think you're absolutely right.
And don't forget,
and they
absolutely play in Williamsport too every year. They started playing
and they're
in
doing
Williamsport,
the Little League Classic. So yeah, I think it makes all the sense in the world to throw a game or a series there. You know, they have the infrastructure. which is a baseball field, you're, like you had been saying, is you're giving the city of Cooperstown, you know, a nice boom. I think there's, you know, you're playing enough damn games that there's an opportunity there to do it. And you're also bringing people into the, you know, into the Hall of Fame. I mean, granted, Cooperstown is kind of in the middle of nowhere in New York, but hell, so is Iowa. I mean, you know, hey, listen, you're not that far from Schenectady, you know, in upstate New York.
Chattanooga, Ohio.
There's a sign. Yeah, I just think, I think there's absolute opportunity. I think baseball is swinging and missing, pun intended, by not taking advantage of all that they can for the Hall of Fame game. And you know, I'll say, I mean, this is one of those places where maybe a couple of years down the road, Manfred can, you know, find a W in there somewhere. Although knowing him, he'd probably get lost in the ivy in Chicago trying to find a baseball. So I don't have a lot of faith in that. But yeah, there's an opportunity there to make the Hall of Fame game something interesting. But that was frustrating. I know, Nate, one of the reasons we are doing the show early this week is because of the NFL kicking off tonight. You know, it is funny to me as a sports fan where now for me, I juggle, you know, am I, you know, on a Sunday night, and what's the big baseball matchup versus what's the football matchup? It's kind of that interesting time. Again, I'll admit, you know, football has always been, the second sport that I would pay attention to, but over the last couple of years, with the pace of play in baseball getting almost just downright frustrating and football kind of having its grips in me, I know I'm going to be paying attention to both down the stretch. And speaking of down the stretch, Nate, I just want to take a quick moment to look at the standings where we are now while football's all 0-0s. The Yankees continue their free fall after their 14-game win streak. They've now lost 5 straight. They're 2-8 in their last 10. They have lost their grip on the wild card spot. They're a half a game behind the Red Sox and only a game and a half over Toronto. So you have those three AL East teams fighting for that wild card game with the Red Sox, Yankees, and Blue Jays all bunched up. Then you have the Mariners and the A's, and then a huge drop-off. So the Mariners and the A's aren't completely out of it. Everyone else pretty much is at this point. Whereas in the NL, it's pretty much the Dodgers – owning that wild card spot, you know, whether it be the Dodgers or the Giants coming out of the West, and then the Padres up there. And then after you get past the Padres, then the Reds are a game out of the second wild card spot, that visiting spot. And then the Phillies are 3 behind. But I just don't really see anybody kind of coming out of it. I mean, the teams that are mathematically, I would say, still in it, I guess you'd say the Reds, the Phillies, the Cardinals, and even the Mets, who are sitting at 500, are all within 4.5 games of a wild card spot, and then you'd have a big drop off to the Cubs. So it's very clear with a month to go who's out of it, who's still got a shot. I mean, those teams like the A's, the Mariners, the Mets, Cardinals, and Phillies and Reds, those guys who aren't actually really in it could have a good run if everybody else has a bad run. And there's always something in sports that delivers that you just didn't see coming. So, Nate, out of those teams, the ones who are not in the wild card game right now if the season were to end, so in the AL, the Blue Jays, Mariners, and A's, do you see any one of those three starting the AL sneaking in and taking a spot away from the Red Sox or the Yankees? I mean, I'll just say it straightforward. I can completely expect the Yankees to fall off the wild card game. But what about you? Anybody in there you see sneaking up there or jumping in?
You know, we're circling back around to this again. I remember we started off the year with the Yankees playing poorly, like right under 500 ball. And
no, Nate, hold on. No, damn it. I told you every week this summer the Yankees winning streak was fool's gold. I told you before the hot weather started, they're going to do well in the summer, and it's fool's gold. We've got the audio. I told you all these Yankee fans are going to get super excited. Oh, look at us, the Bronx Bombers again. like, woo! And now they're, you know, now that they're cooling off and everybody else has let it become the marathon that baseball is and not the sprint. Oh, what's wrong with the Yankees? Nothing's wrong with the Yankees. They are who they thought they were.
Dave, that's exactly what I was going to say. I remember about last month when the Yankees hit their hot streak, I said to you, and you correctly said, it's full of gold. And then
and we let them off the hook.
I do concede you were correct, although I do believe there was at one point where I had you maybe sort of pretending to come around to my argument because the Yankees
14-game winning streak would get anyone.
Yeah. So... you know, I think Toronto probably sneaks in because right now they're a game and a half back. I have to look at the Yankee schedule. I don't know who you're playing this weekend, but I know Toronto's coming into Baltimore. So that doesn't bode well for the Yankees holding their spot. Honestly, I'd like to see
and the Yankees
Toronto
gave up
and
more games to Baltimore than they should, by the way. The Orioles have been a heartbreaker for us.
You know, I'm not upset
about
that, even a little bit.
Nate, I got to stop you. This is unusual for our 1:30 show. Actually, we've got a caller.
Oh, wow.
So, on our pre-recorded broadcast, we do have some live entertainment. So, let me bring in our caller. Hold on a sec. All right, caller, you're on. What do you got for us?
I'm here to be the voice of reason. And to bring you back in, David, because I'm listening to you. Listen, great show, by the way. Nate, what's up, brother? And the villain is perturbed. The villain is upset. And I'm usually the bad guy, but I'm going to be the good guy. I'm going to help you right now, dude, because I understand you think it was fool's gold, the winning streak and all that, but you got to understand with the Yankees. They hate us because they hate us. What did the captain said? All we wanted to do was win, and we did. Like that's our attitude. Just come with it, Jake. Come back to us.
It's that Jets fan mentality coming and hitting me hard, I guess. But I don't know, Barry.
Save you from. I gotta save you from yourself, brother.
Okay, all right, humor me, Barry. Then all right, let's just say, all right, let's say you're right, because, you know, we always a good baseline to start with you. What tells you, looking at this team, that after losing five straight, including losing a series to the Orioles and the Angels, what gives you any confidence that this team's got what it needs to going forward from, let's start with the rotation?
I mean, there's absolutely nothing. But we're the Yankees. We have to at least believe it. We got to believe our bullshit. Come on now. Like, listen, Dave. Nate's right. You're right. The Yankees, it might have been a little fool's gold with the winning streak. We did beat some good teams. We hit the ball finally. But, you know, the way we were doing it was manufacturing runs, speed, stealing bases, moving runners over. Once we got a little healthy and we got the bats back, that we normally have in the game. You know, like, I think the Gallo experiment has been a failure. Rizzo, but, you know, he's up and down a little bit sometimes. Luke Boyd is hot and cold. When he's really hot, he's really hot. When he's cold, he's just like, I can't watch that big leg kick and the long swing, like, get lost. So I think Judge has to stir the pot. He has to lead the way. I mean, he was hitting the ball very, very well during the win streak. I think he has to get back to it. The problem is that the injuries in the bullpen are starting to kind of come back on us. I think losing Loaisiga, I think the fact that, you know, we're not going to have Britton probably for the playoffs run, it hurts. Chapman hasn't really completely been fixed. I mean, listen, he was pitching a little bit better. But, I mean, we're talking about Vlad Guerrero Jr. He hits anything near the plate. So you throw him a fastball, I don't care if it's 103 miles an hour, he's going to hit it a ways, and that's exactly what he did last night. So, listen, the bullpen is a problem. The starting pitching is starting to get a little healthy, but I don't know if it's enough. And in time, now you got Cole going down. It's a little bit – I think the pitching is the problem. And, you know, we kind of got away with it. a little bit with Jameson Taillon and company, but now it's that it's coming back to us, just not being able to spend like we could and get the guys in here that we needed to get in here.
And looking forward, Barry, I mean, the remaining opponents, after we finish up the series with Toronto, you got three against the Mets. You know, you got a makeup game against Minnesota in there, but Baltimore. But then after Baltimore, it's Cleveland, Texas, then Toronto, and then you close the season out with Tampa. So, you know, yeah, you should be able to take a series from Baltimore and Texas. But I mean, Cleveland has been a weird team.
Do you really have any confidence that the Yankees are going to come into Baltimore and take that series after they drop?
No,
the
I don't.
The Yankees should have been swept in New York last week.
The slated starters are Gil, Cortez Jr., and then Jordan Montgomery is our savior in that series. So
Gumby.
Yeah. It's not what you want,
I mean,
to quote Aaron Boone.
It's not ideal, Dave, and the Yankees aren't playing good right now. Where they were the hottest team in baseball, they're certainly one of the coldest teams in baseball, and that's the wrong time. I've seen this before. I've seen a Yankee team in September swoon and then, you know, come back into the playoffs, but that's not the same team. Do I have confidence that they can go in to Baltimore and get it done? Yes, because they are a better team than Baltimore. I don't care. Nate, I know you're a fan, but let's be honest. You know the Yankees are a better team. So we got to kind of lean into that a little bit and say, you know, look at the back of your baseball card and remember how good you are. You know what I mean? We need Giancarlo. We need, you know, Gio and the boys to start hitting like they're supposed to hit. You know, I mean, you look at, I think, two guys that have kind of disappointed, not throughout the whole year, one throughout the year and one since he's been back, is Gio, and then, you know, LeMahieu is just not hitting. He's not hitting. He's all good job.
LeMahieu has been so underwhelming.
Yeah, and you saw him get dropped in the lineup, and I wouldn't be surprised if he drops even more. It's this underwhelming performance. I think right now it's all hands on deck. Don't give me days off. Don't, you know, we want winners, you know what I mean? And whoever's going to come in here and play baseball, that's what we got to put out there. And if LeMahieu's not doing it, I don't care if he signed a big contract. Send him down.
A team for that's supposed to be, you know, built on hitting the home run. They're 12th in the majors in home runs. I mean, that's if you're gonna bank on home runs, you better be hitting them, and they're just not.
They're not. And
you know,
it's
when you're 12th in home
runs, a lot of famine going on.
Yeah, no, and I think you had said it earlier, Barry, that the Gallo trade, I think in some ways embodies what's kind of happened to this roster. Now, I do like that they tried to balance it, you know, adding two lefties.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been better if you had a lefty that can put his bat on the ball and have him move a runner over and have the pitchers fear that left-handed bat a little bit more. But if you're going to have a left-handed bat, that you're thinking, all right, well, I'm just as good a chance of striking him out as him hitting the ball over the, you know, over the porch. It's a different mentality, I think, for a pitcher, which is not good.
It was the whole idea of where we can fit in that little bit of money so that we don't go over the luxury cap, who is available that we can get as a left-handed bat.
True.
And you start it. It's basically you're in like you're you know, like the MLB The Show when you're going to collect the card and you start going through the filter. This range, and it drops the list down. You had a couple guys and Gallo was one of them. And he wasn't hitting this year. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't hitting the ball well this year. It was more all or nothing with him. And you know what? We kind of got burned on it. And it is what it is.
You know what else, by the way? I don't know if you know this. The Yankees are second in the majors in grounded into double plays. So they're not just not hitting situationally. They're driving themselves literally into the ground. What was that, Nate?
Well, I was going to say that I think Gallo, his acquisition – yeah, you got him to be the lefty power bat. He was never going to be a contact hitter. He's not going to be the guy that's going to move him around because that's never who he's been throughout his career. That's what Rizzo is going to give you. Rizzo is going to be your guy that's going to put the ball in play. Yeah, he's also going to put the ball over the fence a lot because he's that good of a player. But I think Gallo is more to upgrade your outfield defense, and he's definitely done that. Yeah, he's not contributing at the plate, but the outfield defense, I think, has looked markedly improved for the Yankees compared to what it was. Now, I say that, and then they turn around and they go and put Giancarlo Stanton out there so they can get Luke Voigt back
hey,
in the lineup,
you know,
and that's kind of, you know.
Stanton hasn't been as abysmal in the field, and I think when he's in the field, he tends to hit better. He actually had a really good stretch in there about a couple of weeks ago where everything he hit, it seemed like was 100 million miles an hour.
I mean,
he's
more than a serviceable outfielder, Dave. I think he's actually a pretty darn good outfielder, and he's played pretty well when he's been in the
field. Yeah.
He's getting it done, but if you're relying on him regularly, that's going to be a lot of trouble.
In the field?
So,
me?
In the field, yeah.
I mean, you know, the plan was never not to have him in the field. It was because he got hurt so much they wanted to save his legs. They never not wanted him to play right field. I think they wanted to move him to left field, which he's not comfortable with. But the plan was never not to have him in the field. It was just because they wanted to save his legs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, hey, Barry, now that we got you here, I want to ask you, because
yeah.
I wanted to spend the last part of the show, taking advantage of the football season kicking off. I'm curious, you think you're big football stars right now. You got, you know, obviously you're Tom Brady, you're Patrick Mahomes, those kinds of guys. Who would you say right now is the Patrick Mahomes of baseball and has that kind of upward trajectory? So, you know, been in the league – you know, a couple years, but seems like they're the face and could be the future. I mean, is there anybody in your mind who you think can would be that comparable?
No. No. I'll be honest. The biggest star in the game is Ohtani. Just that name. You see a guy that can do it all, essentially, play the field, hit, and
literally.
Pitch. Yeah, and he's their most marketable guy, but I bet you couldn't pick him out of the lineup. I think that's the problem with baseball, and we've talked about it ad nauseum. I actually talked about it last night on our college cookout on Wednesday at 9:00 Eastern Standard Time. They have a problem of getting they're not at the level of football and basketball where they have these marketable stars. I think. You know, really the best player in the game is Trout. Ohtani is the biggest headline guy. I think Judge is probably maybe one of your better marketed guys, I think, at least in New York. After that, I mean, what are we talking about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot after that. And that's
so for
the
giggles,
problem for baseball.
So for giggles, I just went to MLBShop.com, and, you know, they always show the top-selling jerseys. And right now, number one is actually Mookie Betts. And then you've got Judge, Harper, Tatis, and then Soto for your top five.
Who are the guys again?
Bottom, one to five. It's Betts, Judge, yeah. Harper, Tatis, and Soto. Mm-hmm. Now, of those guys, Judge has been on his current team for a couple years. But we all know Betts, Harper, and Tatis just signed the deal. So, he's still kind of young and fresh. And Soto's been there for a little bit, but... I don't know. I look at these and I think, you know, who are the young kids? Who you're buying a jersey for? You know, your 20 and 30 year old dude, 40 year old dudes. Like that's one group. But I always think, Barry, if you've got a kid, or you know, say Xavier, you know, your son Xavier says, "Hey, I want a jersey." You know, what kind of jersey are you getting for him? You know, that's
he's
the thing. Right.
He's
and then after
the
Judge,
but here's the problem: Betts is West Coast. Ohtani is West Coast, Trout is West Coast, Tatis is West Coast. Now, this is East Coast bias, but we don't get to see him. We don't get to see him. You know what I mean? So, you know, the fact that Betts is number one is really amazing, but it's also really sad because I couldn't tell you, does Betts have a big endorsement deal anywhere? What does he endorse?
Not around here. Probably like In-N-Out Burger or something, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, maybe something out there. Maybe it's like some, you know, the Dario type of, you know, Honda dealership or something like that. I don't know, but there's nothing there.
It felt like when I was a kid, Barry, around here, and especially in the Fairfield County area at least, I couldn't go into a Dunkin' Donuts without seeing, you know, a picture of Jeter or something holding a bat, or a different day you go in, it'd be Mariano. Different day you go in, mm-hmm. it would be Bernie Williams. There would always be somebody, and even to a point where, like, even David Wright or Jose Reyes for a chunk of time. You know, that was great about New York was you'd have that one billboard, and on one half it would be, like, Jeter, and on the other half it would be, like, David Wright or something like that. But now mm-hmm. you go in, and there's none of that.
And that's a big problem. It's always been a problem. I mean, your best the last probably big marketed player was the guy that got inducted yesterday in Derek Jeter. I you know what I mean? Like, that's a face and a name that everybody knew. You love him or hate him, everybody knows Derek Jeter. I struggle to know outside out baseball fans who knows Mookie Betts. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's a good point. Like, they've transcended the sport.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the problem with baseball. And one of the guys, Mike Harvey, one of our chefs, brought it up last night. They're going to be in trouble if not only with the Hall of Fame debacle that goes on every year with, like, A-Rod and Ortiz, Ellsworth probably not going to get in, Bonds is last year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Just the whole kind of black eye that they just self-impose on themselves. Now you got labor negotiations that could stall and maybe derail a season. They better not let that happen, because soccer is coming. You know, basketball and football are in their own stratosphere with the revenue that they make. You know, hockey's not there, but there's a lot of sports
that ESPN
that
deal for hockey
other people
was a
can
great
turn
deal.
To. Yeah, but there's a lot of options now. There's options to turn from baseball. And baseball's already – we're baseball guys, but be honest. Like, a casual person's not going to listen to a nine-inning game. It's boring. So you can sit through a football game. You can sit through college football and NFL or college basketball or pro basketball. You can sit through it. So there's a problem.
And you hit on a point too, Barry, and something that Nate certainly is passionate about there's a story on The Athletic last week about how difficult it is to access a baseball game because of their archaic blackout rules, which, the more I read into it, the more I realize it's kind of annoying and stupid that, if you were in Iowa, you couldn't watch the game based on their locality rules and what it takes to be able to watch a game. So that's not helping them. They're doing everything they can, I think, to shoot themselves in the foot. They would be best to take a step back during these CBA negotiations and try to find a way to make the whole thing more accessible to the fans. And it's frustrating that it seems like they're straying further from making it fun for a fan.
I mean, thank God I can watch, I'm out of the area that, I lived in, but I can watch, like, on Amazon Prime. I can watch the Yankee game if it's on Channel 11. But if the game is on TBS, I can't go to TBS and watch it unless it's a playoff. You know what I mean? It's like...
The fact that you have to have a flow chart in your head tells you a lot.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's archaic. It really is. Nate brings up a great point. It's just drives me crazy, and it's just inaccessible to be able to watch a game as opposed to football. You have to pay a little bit more for, like, a package for NFL or, like, the Red Zone or something, but, it's all crazy. It's just ridiculous.
Well, and I think one of the things that drives me the most nuts about these blackout rules, especially with the streaming service, is I've always been told that the idea behind a blackout, at least from an NFL perspective, was like the Jacksonville Jaguars would black out pretty much every home game because nobody was going to the games. And the idea was to drive people to the games. Well,
right.
2020 hits, no fans are allowed in the stadium. So I literally can't go to the game. Let me watch it somewhere. And I get it. You want to drive the viewership towards the cable, and you want to drive them at least to, because every team now, or a lot of these bigger markets, are moving in the direction of having their own team-centric cable channels. You know, the Orioles have Masson, the Yankees have the YES Network, the Nationals also have Masson, the Cubs now have the Marquee Sports Network, and I get it. You want to drive people to watch it on TV so you can have the more centric or more focused advertising. I get localized ads. So, like, I'll tune in my Orioles game when they're playing – like, I'll tune it in tonight when they're playing the Kansas City Royals. And I can get – like, I'm not necessarily getting Baltimore ads, but I'm getting Chicago-based ads being out here in Chicago. So, like, something tells me they have the algorithm. They have the ability that they can target the ads. Like, you can let me watch the Cubs-White Sox crosstown or crosstown rivalry on the MLB app because I'm still paying the subscription fee. If that's what the issue is, fine, up the subscription fee. You'll get the fans that want to watch it. But I shouldn't have to be reverted to radio call just because I happen to live within three blocks of the stadium. Like, let me watch it. Maybe I'm out and about in the city and I want to be able to watch the game instead of having to listen to the radio call and I'm not at my house to put it on a TV, or I'm not at a sports bar to be able to put it on TV. There have to be ways to work around this. And I know, Dave, you and I kind of talked about this before. We never really did do the deep dive, and I'm sure one day you will educate me on this, but until I have it explained to me, it's going to continue being my sticking point that I just don't get it. I think they're just being obtuse, and they don't want to put in any effort into figuring it out, and they just want to make it harder on the local fans to watch their local team. But the other end of it is that it just doesn't make sense because baseball is so localized. Like, yes, you have, you know, I'm an Orioles fan in Chicago, but by and large, the Cubs fans are going to be in Chicago. The White Sox fans are going to be in Chicago. There might be a couple that are in other parts of the country, but they're going to be very rare. So this MLB streaming app that I personally love, what is the point of it, though, if you're going to black out somebody from being 90% of the fans of the team are going to be blacked out from watching the team on the app. So who's using this? Is this supposed to target 10% of the fan base?
Nate, you have the app and you're still blacked out on the app?
Yes.
Because I never had
he's
the
in
app,
the physical
so I don't
location.
Understand how it works.
Wow. Yeah, because I'm in Chicago. Yeah, because I'm in Chicago. So, like, the Orioles will play six games against the White Sox every year as an AL opponent. I cannot watch that game. When they're playing in Baltimore, I cannot watch the game. I can't, in that, like, I have to go radio call or I have to find somewhere that has it on TV, and then I have to watch the Chicago broadcast. When they're playing in Chicago, wow, I cannot watch the game. I can't even tune in the Masson broadcast, and that's who I want to watch. I don't want, like, well, back in the day when Hawk Harrelson was still doing his thing, I don't want to listen to Hawk Harrelson tell me, you can put it on the board. I don't care. I want to listen to Jim Palmer and Gary Thorne call the game back when they were still together. I don't want to hear the Chicago guy, but I was not able to do that. It's like I have the package where I can watch home and away feeds of every game except Chicago. Chicago, I blacked out entirely. I can't even select the out-of-market feed.
Wow. I did not know that. That's crap. And to your point, I don't know what are they going to do to fix it? What will they do to fix it? It's not hurting business, so why would they change? But it kind of pisses off the casual fan like you that wants to watch how he wants. You're paying for it. Why can't you watch what you
want? I want to enjoy the sport, but I can't because it won't let me. What a joke.
But you're paying for it, Dave. You know what I mean? You're paying for it. Why can't you watch the way you want to? If it was free, if it comes with your cable package, you're paying for that as well. You're paying for the service. But that's annoying.
And like I've never claimed to be a Cub fan, but I would probably personally go to more Cubs games and I'd be more invested in the Cubs if I could just tune them in and watch them from time to time. You know, I don't want to necessarily invest the money that it costs to go over to the stadium 5, 6 times, 9 times, 10 times a year. But if I can tune them in and watch them maybe once or twice a week, I'm more inclined to buy the ticket to go to the game when I have free time on a Friday night or a Saturday night. But since I really can't follow them without putting in extra effort, I have no interest in it. Why would I – like, I go to, like, one, maybe two Cubs games a year, and it's usually because some group that I'm involved in is doing some kind of social night over there. Other than that, I don't care. I don't go.
I'm shocked. I can't. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it makes no sense to me. It's archaic. It's so old school. Times are different, you know. You know, content is so accessible. You know, at your fingertips, and that they can't really figure out a better way to run their business. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, the only guess I would have in that is maybe there's some contracts that they can't get out from, or they're all tied to something. Because you're right, it makes little to no sense to me about how baseball can do what football has done, and, you know, not just market the players. I mean, it's funny, growing up, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, like I was saying, Barry, earlier at the onset of the show, I was 10 in 96 for that 96 season. And earlier I was 9. But, you know, that being my indoctrination, you know, Derek Jeter being my welcome wagon to baseball was literally the best thing. Whereas, you know, being a football fan at that time, there were certainly some really good personalities in football. But I got to admit, I think that was back when Tagliabue was still in charge, and I think he still had some not-so-great characters in the sport of football, and to a point, basketball as well. Whereas now, not that baseball, I don't think, has that problem, really. But, you know, football and basketball have, you know, I don't want to say this way, but kind of cleaned up their act or had higher standards for these guys off the field. And it makes me wonder if you're a parent, you know, when you're looking at role models at the time, baseball was who my dad would certainly point to. But, you know, I asked you that question about your son, you know, wanting a jersey. I mean, if you think about it right now, if he was to say, I want this poster, you say you go into a sports store, you get a poster of any athlete you want, you know, how confident are you that a baseball player would even come into his mind at this point? Or is he or his friends, or maybe some kids who might be older than him, just so purely focused on basketball or football because they're the names that they know, and as a parent, they're the ones that you know are the kind of person to be proud to put on your son's wall. And I think that's part of the accessibility.
He clings to Aaron Judge. He clings to Aaron Judge because that's what he knows. But I could easily tell you, like, there's probably times where he would have mistaken identity between him and Gary Sanchez. You know what I mean? Because it's just not. It's just, you know, I think he knows who they are. But I mean, if you put a basketball player in front of him, he'll know exactly who it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, it's really sad, and again, you know, this is all born of our conversation, building off of the Hall of Fame speech yesterday given by Derek Jeter. That was just done on the second Wednesday in the middle of September, and nobody was there, and baseball did really nothing to promote it, and it's just depressing. It's depressing because it's such a wonderful missed opportunity, and that excuse of, well, it's logistically difficult to make a game like that happen in 2008. Meanwhile, now they're doing, like, the Little League Classic, as Nate pointed out, or they did that the cornfields, you know, the Iowa game, which has already been scheduled for next year. They've already agreed to do it next year. Why can't you just say, okay, this Hall of Fame was a total bust, no pun intended, if you can announce it for next year for a game in Iowa, why can't you just do it? Just try it. It just makes all the baseball fields there. They built it. Just come. That's the whole thing.
So wait. You want them to have a game at the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I think for one reason and one reason alone. Why not? And you know what? There are answers to why not. Figure out those problems.
Yeah, right.
Every team gets 162 of them.
Yeah, I think there is an appetite for it. I think the classic game at in Iowa showed that you can do it. You can market it. I think it was a missed opportunity. I think, you know, listen, I listened to the speeches, and Derek Jeter's speech was the first time you actually heard him say something other than the soundbite. And it was great to listen to. And then after that, that was it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just a missed opportunity. It's just, you know, it's sad. It's sad. You know what I mean? And Hall of Fames are tough. I think football does it really well. Basketball, not so much. I think baseball is kind of middle of the road, too. But they can learn a lot from the NFL. NFL does pretty much everything, you know, pretty well.
Well, because they've, as I said, they've managed to really capitalize on our event-based society. They've taken reading names off an index card and turned it into a global event where people are literally will fly to Cleveland, you know, from across the pond just to see their favorite team pull a name out of a hat, basically. Whereas baseball says, we're going to celebrate this guy who got in with, you know, 99.2% Hall of Fame, but let's just throw it in a field in the middle of New York on a Wednesday in September. I mean, just complete polar opposites, complete juxtapositions, and I think they embody exactly what is going on with the marketing for both football and baseball. But, you know, Barry, I just want to take a quick moment. I got to thank you for calling in. Again, this is a pre-recorded show. In case anybody's curious, I mean, right now it's, 2 p.m. Eastern here, and Nate's it's 1 o'clock Central Time. So I appreciate all three of us making the time to come here. We've been doing a lot of great things here with the Sports City Chefs. Barry, I'm going to give you a moment here to talk about what we've got going on in the Sports City Chefs. Do your plugs, and then we're going to give it to Nate, and then we'll call it a show.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're live, so, I mean, it ain't pre-recorded.
it's true.
And I was listening to you live, and I was like, let me call these boys and holler at them. I don't get to talk baseball with you guys very often, but listen, Sports City Chefs, the website, the interviews, the blogs, we got a lot of things cooking. TP and I and the group, Nate and Dave, have a lot of things coming that you definitely need to check out. We're doing some more blogging. We got some syndication that we're going out with our blogs. We're doing the merchandise. I think we're going to have a mask, a Sports City Chef mask. So
oh, cool.
We're going to look out for that. But we're just doing a lot of big things, and we got partnerships we're working on, and you know, sponsors that we're starting to try to line up. So there's a lot of things going on. You're definitely want to stay tuned with the chefs, man. On that note, always a pleasure doing a show with you guys. It's a lot of fun. You guys did great work. I love listening to you, man. And be safe and be healthy. All right.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks,
Nate, you're up. You got anything you want to plug? You want to close it up for us?
Following off, Barry, just make sure to check out everything that's on the website currently. Check out everything that's going to be coming out on the website at sportscitychefs.com. Baseball season may be wrapping up, but football season is picking up, especially college football season. We are one week into that. I'm hoping to start cranking out a little bit more college football content that we'll put up on that website. So keep a lookout for all of that. Great day talking baseball. We've got all kind of baseball games going on tonight. No scores today because only one game is currently in action. I think the Dodgers just started. So enjoy the night of baseball and also enjoy the kickoff to NFL football. Had a lot of fun with you today, Dave. Look forward to seeing you again next week.
Absolutely. We'll be back regular time, regular place. But in the meantime, for all your sports fix, make sure you check us out on the web, www.sportcitychefs.com. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Sport City Chefs. I have said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs, Sports City, Sports City Chefs, Chefs.
Woo! Connecticut.